know there's a lot of folks going through some sickness right now. I know there some of the schools are having to take some days off and clear them out, and some of the churches are calling off some of their services. We even noticed from having a lot of sickness. So let's just continue to pray for each other. And if you're watching us with Facebook tonight, you just try to stay well, try to get well, and we'll continue to pray for each other and be encouraged by the things that we know help us. And physically, sometimes you don't feel so good, but spiritually, you can still get in there and get in a good Christian fight. Amen? So I think that's what we need. All right? Look with me tonight, if you will, in the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. And do you remember last time we were preaching in the study of beyond when Paul is converted? Acts chapter number 9, the big thing is the conversion of Paul. But then you see a return of the center of activity back to the apostles, namely Peter, and Peter goes as he's kind of spreading out from Jerusalem and checking on the different groups of saints and the different places that churches have been established and believers are getting together. He goes to a place and, you know, it's called Lydda. We studied that and talked about that last week, how that there was a lady there that was a blessing to all of these folks. A man named Aeneas there that was a crippled man that had a paralysis, and that he was in a way of that way for years. He'd been sick for all those years, and Peter reaches down and prays for him, and the man gets healed. And you notice that they have a revival meeting at this little town called Lydda. And it tells us there as we're reading it, it said in verse number 35, that they all that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw the man that had been healed, and they began to turn to the Lord. So the Lord is trying to, and I told you, I think last week, that you can see God's getting the disciples out of their home base and out of their safety zone, I guess you'd say, out of the place that's the most comfortable to them. He's bringing them out and trying to spread the gospel. And you notice in that spread, it takes getting away from where you are, you know, as most of us, most comfortable. Wherever you are, and say, boy, this is my safe spot right here. This is where I feel good. This is where I can do what I'm going to do. Well, God is moving in Peter's life and moves him away from Jerusalem, gets him out here to this place called Lydda, and then he's about to send him further. And if you'll notice here in verse number 36, it said, now there was at Joppa, and Joppa is a little bit farther west and north than Lydda was. And at Joppa, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Let's have a word of prayer again, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the good song we enjoyed. And I pray now, Lord, you just bless the time that we spend in your word. I pray you just give us your grace and your mercy and your touch here tonight, and everything that's said, everything that's done. May we just magnify the Lord Jesus and give you praise and worship. And we'll thank you for what's accomplished, for what's done in your name. And I pray you just speak to some dear lost soul. Show them their need of Jesus Christ tonight. We'll praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, let's talk tonight, if you will, and we'll title this, Peter Goes Further. Peter Goes Further. As I said, here he is at a place called Lydda, and you've seen a great miracle there in this paralytic, this man by the name of Aeneas. He is paralyzed and gets restored. All right? Now you're going to see something else. You're going to see, as Peter goes further, he goes to a place that is very near here called Joppa. And you see a miraculous raising from the dead. I mean, the Lord said, look, I want you to go out and take the gospel. And he said, you're to spread the gospel. And by ways of miracles and signs and wonders, people are going to believe in the Lord. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks still today get all mixed up on those things. They get all centered on the miraculous. And, you know, they will say, well, If they did it then they can do it today. Well, I believe as you see and you study in the book of Acts is a transitional book. We're transitioning from the time and days when Jesus was here. Jesus left a commission for the church. As he left in the end of every one of the Gospels, you'll see, he spoke to them. And then in the first part of the book of Acts, he spoke to them before he ascended. And he said, look, here's what I want from you. And he said, I want you to preach the gospel. I want the gospel to go out. And see, we've got things all messed up today. The gospel is the important thing out of the Word of God. I mean, that's what the Lord Jesus is trying to get, is the gospel presented to the whole world. And we've got all mixed up and messed up. And I don't say just we, but you go back and even look in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, you'll see that there was a lot of those that stood up in their churches and they were bragging because they said, well, I speak in tongues. And another said, well, I have the gift of this and the gift of that and I can do these things. And, you know, all this, people were bragging on themselves or being boastful and prideful about the gifts that they had. Brother, the main thing is, Paul said, look, if you do every bit of that stuff, he said, and you don't do it with love in your heart, then you're in trouble anyway, but the main thing is to get the gospel out. And that was Paul's emphasis. And that should still be the emphasis of the church today. And I know we seem like we've got off a track, we've got out of the wave and got out of the business, if you will. I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but the gospel is the church's business. That's what we're all about, preaching about Jesus. And now God's trying to get Peter here to go in that direction, trying to get him developed in that way. And, you know, here he is. He's kind of stuck around Jerusalem too long. And the Lord said, get out. I want you to get out and spread this gospel. So here he goes. And as I told you before, probably 20 to 25 miles from Jerusalem to where he went at Lydda. And now he's gone about another 10 miles north and west to a place called Joppa. So he is beginning to spread out. And pretty soon he's really going to spread out. But it's all under direction of the Lord trying to get the gospel out from the disciples and those that he's going to work with. So let's look at this lady, though, and notice some things about her. As I said, you notice there in the previous verses where we pick back up with Peter going through the area there and doing his miraculous deed first with Aeneas and then with this lady by the name of Tabitha, you notice that the first one is a miracle of restoration. That man was sick and he was restored to health. This second one is a miracle of resurrection. There's somebody that's dead. I mean, and you know what? Both of those are things that fit in with the gospel theme. Now, you know, to understand that the Lord can restore folks. Thank God for that. There's folks today that need to be restored in the house of God. And not physically necessarily, but I'm talking about spiritually. They might need it physically, but they need it spiritually more so. They need to be made whole. They need to be gotten right with God. And then there are folks that need that resurrection miracle, and that's when people get saved by the grace of God. We've got people that need that blessing in their lives also. Amen? And both of those come through the preaching of the gospel. But again, let's look at this lady. And I want you to notice, first of all, let's talk about this lady and her deeds. I want you to notice the things that the Bible tells us about this lady. It says, now, there was at Joppa, in verse 36, a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. I want you to look at this lady just for a minute. Let's talk about her. I mean, let's see what we can find. First of all, I want you to notice her name. Now, her name is, she has two versions of it, if you will. It's kind of like, you know, Peter being called Peter and Simon. The Lord gave him another name. Well, this lady's name is Tabitha, and then it says, which by interpretation is Dorcas. In other words, her name would have been in the Syriac language, would have been Tabitha, but in the Greek, it would have been Dorcas, and both of those names meant gazelle. And, you know, back in those days, people's names went along with something characteristic about them. So from that, I mean, you understand the gazelle was a small deer-like animal that was, you know, beautiful to watch, and it had real graceful movements. So from that, we understand this lady was probably a beautiful woman. And she was probably a graceful, you know, she just had that look about her of grace and elegance and, you know, just a good standing and a beautiful face and all those characteristics and features that might describe that for been gotten when she was a child even. Her parents saw that was going to be her. Amen? I mean, you know, you've got people throughout the Bible that's got different names for the birth or the life or whatever. And you know, we talk about the sons over there in the book of Ruth, the two sons that Mahlon and Chilion, the sons of Naomi and her husband, and Elimelech, and their names meant droopy, piney, and sickly. Amen. Wasn't that great? That's what they named them. I don't know. I don't know where they got those names from, but maybe when they were born, they were in those kind of conditions. But everybody's name really, really gave you something. But anyway, they say there's this certain lady. I want you to notice this too. I just think this is very interesting. If you look in the Gospel of Luke and in the writing in the book of Acts, you'll see that Luke uses this term a lot. He says, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple. And then if you'll look back up in verse number 32, and it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down to the saints which dwelt at Lydda, and there he found a certain man named Aeneas. You'll find that Luke is good at finding these certain people, certain places, certain things that go on. And he uses that term certain a lot. And it's an identifier, obviously. It points out, you know, to a person, to a place, or an event, whatever it is. But I just think it's interesting that Luke has that kind of an eye. He has that kind of grasp of details. He's that kind of person. He is, of course, a medical doctor, and because of that, you just assume that part of that's part of his learning and his nature is that he sees these certain things. It just sticks out to him better than it does other folks. And you'll notice that if you go back and read in some of the Gospels, when he's writing the same thing maybe that Mark and Matthew have written, you'll see that his is a little bit more focused in and honed in on some things because of his eyesight or his vision of seeing things. And here he tells us the story. And I think, obviously, all this is inspired from the Holy Spirit of God. But he tells us about a certain man, and now he's going to tell us about a certain woman or a certain disciple. And it says her name, and we find out her name is, as I said, Tabitha. Tabitha. And she's a disciple of the Lord. You know what that tells you? Well, it tells you a little bit of stuff right there about her, that she's part of a local church. That she's part, that the church folks had gone so far, somebody had gone so far up there to Joppa, and they'd preached the gospel, and people believed in Jesus, and this lady, Tabitha, was part of that group. And it says here that as he comes to, as the story opens, it says, there this woman which was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. So not only do we find out a little bit about her name, you find out a little bit about her nature. Her nature seems to be that she wants to be helpful as she can be. I mean, it just says that she was just full of these good deeds, that she was full of good works and alms deeds. And all of that meant that she was a worker, and she believed in helping others. She believed in doing, and you'll see a little bit later on, she was maybe a seamstress. She was a lady that was able to make garments, and she got to work on it, and she found somebody and said, hey, over here so-and-so has a need. Well, let's go there and fix them, you know, a bowl of soup. Let's go and give them some warm clothes. Let's go and take care of them. And that was the kind of ministry that God had put into her life. And that is, as I say, that brings up her nature. Her nature was just a nature of helping people. Aren't you glad we got people that have a nature of just wanting to help somebody else? There are people, and that's the way God has made them. They're the helpers. And I think you'll see that a lot of times in your Bible, and it's by no strange coincidence that a lot of them are women. Amen? If you'll notice, when Jesus died, there were a lot of women around tending to that body. If you'll notice, in other cases throughout the Bible, you'll see that when something is going on, that the women were there to help, to clean, to mourn, to work, to minister, to help in any way they could. And the Lord talked about, the Lord Jesus talked many times about how that there was a group of women that helped him. And Paul talks about many times in his writings, he'll mention a group and he'll pick out some women and say, they helped me, they were good to me, they were a blessing to me in the ministry. Amen. So God's got a ministry for you. It may not be stand up and preach. It may not be stand up and sing. It may not be get in a room and teach. It may be just this ministry of helping in the way that you know how to help. And that's what the Lord has done in this lady's life. So you notice her nature. And not only that, I'll say this, it brings her something else that we see. We get to see her notoriety. She is noted for that. If you remember on down here where we're reading, it says in verse number 39, then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made when she was with them. I mean, she had a notoriety. Look at what she's done for me. Look at how she blessed me. Look at the, and you know, they could go through and show Peter all the things that this lady had done. That brought about her notoriety. Amen. Hey, let me tell you, that's a good thing to be noted and known for, is to be a helper. I mean, it's not, you know, a lot of folks say, well, I wish I was a preacher like so-and-so or a singer like such a. It doesn't matter about though. Whatever God has called you to, whatever God has placed you in, go ahead and excel in that and be a blessing through that, whatever it is. If it is, as the Bible talks about, carrying a cup of cold water to a prophet or to a man of God or to somebody in need, whatever, just do that. That's all the Lord wants out of us, is that we do what he's called us to do. So you notice this woman, and it's kind of a real big thing. I mean, matter of fact, think about this. She's got her name in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? That you'd say, well, preacher, she didn't do anything. Well, I mean, she did. She did, and something amazing was done to her and for her. And through what Peter's about to do. But man, she's here in the scriptures. She's named and she is called a disciple. And she is noted and lauded. And you know, there's much to do made about her. And hey, that's a pretty good thing, I think. Amen. I mean, it leaves a good testimony of her, doesn't it? So you see the lady and her deeds. We look at that, the lady and her deeds. But then I want you to look at this lady and her death. I want you to see in her death. The Bible says there in verse number 37, it came to pass in those days, And I think that just referring to the fact that the days Peter was there pretty close to Joppa, he was there in Lydda doing this other miracle, and here's this other guy. It came to pass in those days that she was sick, and she died. And when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And it says that, you know, here's this dear lady that is well thought of and a worker in the community and in the probably in the church community, probably more than anything she's known. But here she is, and she has died. And, you know, there's no mention made of a husband. There's no mention made of children. We don't know about those things. We're not given that information. And, you know, just looking at that, you almost feel like that you know, she was maybe part of this group. It talks about the widows were there with her, and so maybe she, you kind of feel like maybe she was part of that group, that she was just in a group, and all she could do, all her heart wanted to do, her heart was upon helping others. She wanted to help somebody. And in doing that, man, she was a blessing. She's a blessing to those other ladies. She was a blessing to those in the community. She's a blessing to those that needed whatever kind of help that she could offer and give. There she was, full of good works and alms deeds. And when she's gone, what happens? Well, first of all, you notice that the Bible tells us about her sickness, that she got sick. Amen. Can I tell you this? People that work for God can get sick too, okay? I mean, just realize that it doesn't matter who you are. You're not immune to the trials and the problems and the issues of life. You can get a sickness just like anybody else. Amen. I know that a lot of folks say, oh, well, if you really had the faith you ought to have, you wouldn't have got sick. Well, I don't believe that. And right here's a good example. I mean, this lady was a worker for God. She trusted the Lord. She did everything she could do, and she still got sick. And her sickness led her to the point of death. I mean, the Bible just tells she got she was sick and she died. And not a great big deal of fanfare made about it. She had a sickness. We don't know what it was, and it doesn't matter. The idea is that it processed into her death. And she was just as saved as anybody else. You know, sometimes you'll see people that'll kind of look sideways at somebody and say, well, if they're right with God, they wouldn't be sick. Well, you better back up and hold on a minute. Amen. You better think that over before, because let me tell you, it may be right around the curve for you. Amen. You don't know. And I'm just telling you, God doesn't just promise sunshine and rainbows and rose beds and all that. Hey, brother, sometimes you're going to have to go through some things. And it happens to the saints of God just as well as it does to those that are wicked. You know, we sometimes think, boy, they're so mean and they're so sinful and so wicked. Why don't God pour some of that on them? Well, we don't know. We don't understand that. But that's that's His purpose, and that's part of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We don't understand them. We can't figure it out. But we know that God is in charge of it all. Amen. And that's all you and I got to know. Okay, so there was her sickness, but then I want you to notice that there was their sorrow. I mean, these ladies sorrowed over her. You see that? It said when she died that they washed her and they laid her in an upper chamber. And then when Peter came there in verse number 39, it said when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. There was sorrow because of the loss of their dear sister. And again, I think that's a proper thing. I want you to understand, it's okay to be sorrowful over some of those who go by the way of death. I mean, you know, sure, we understand that that's the way God works, and that's how life goes, and that's what's going to happen to every one of them. You know what somebody said that did a survey? One out of every one dies. Amen. I mean, ain't nobody got out of that yet. Amen. It's appointed unto man to die, and after that, the judgment. So those things are coming for every one of us. And here was this lady, same situation, but there was a sorrow of those around her. But then there was a thought of someone else that said, let's send for Peter. Let's send for Peter. Notice that in verse 38 and 39. It said, and forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. Okay? So here they send for Peter. Now, my question, and I hope your question is, why? Why did they send for Peter? Was it that they hoped he could do the miraculous? I don't know. I mean, you almost get the idea that maybe they sent for Peter because they felt like he could come in and his connection with the Lord so much that he could come in and maybe even preach a funeral or say some words of encouragement or give something to these dear people, these ladies that are left behind, that he could have some way of giving them some kind of consolation. I mean, we don't know. There's really no good answer to that question. We're not told why. We know what happens when he does come, but I don't know that they were looking for that. I don't know that they even expected that. But aren't you glad that when you and I look at this picture, you see a picture of how Jesus had performed some things during the days when Peter walked along behind him. And you remember that there was one little incident that seems to really go a lot along with this, when Jairus comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to come and heal his daughter. She's at the point of death. And then before Jesus can get there, and you know, the lady with the issue of the blood and all that slowed things down, that they finally come to him, they said, "Your daughter has died. There's no need for you to bother Jesus anymore. Just let him go." And Jesus said, "No, just have faith. Hang on. Things are going to get better." And they go down, and she is dead, okay? I mean, clinically, actually, literally dead. She's laying in the bed, and she has died. But aren't you glad that Jesus went in? And what happens? There's a whole crowd there. A lot of them are mourners. And then when Jesus says she's not dead, she's just sleeping, then they begin to laugh and mock and make light of him. And he pushes or sends all of them away. The only ones he takes with him, Peter, John, James, and the mama and the daddy. And Jesus, that's all that's in the room with this little lady. And if you remember, if you go back and read it now, Jesus is looking at this little girl. And he takes her by the hand, and he says, he doesn't say Tabitha, he says Talitha. Talitha, which means young maiden. A little different wording, but he just simply said to her, "Talitha, arise." And she gets up. And he delivers her to her mom and dad, and he says, "Get her something to eat." And then they present her before everybody, and she's well and whole. That's almost, and you know, I can see something in that kind of gives me a little bit of an idea about Peter was there for a reason. Peter saw that for a particular reason. And here it is, because I've wondered some of this too. And you know, as I say, I don't know what they thought that Peter might do, but they sent for him. They sent for him, and. Let's just look, if you will, at the situation and notice, well, we'll just notice this last of all, the lady and her deliverance. The lady and her deliverance. We saw the lady and her death, but now let's see the lady and her deliverance. And if you'll look at this, you see that Jesus, as I say, he has made a similar resurrection, but now Peter is going to go from that example. Peter's going to do about the same thing. It says, first of all, you'll notice that Peter came to them. He went with them. They showed him all the things, you know. It said, but in verse 49, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed. I want you to notice, first of all, he cleared the room. Now, again, I'm thinking, he's thinking back to the time when this happened with Jesus, and he maybe he didn't want to have anybody there to make him look like something special or somebody powerful or you know any of that. He didn't want anybody telling any tales that you know he didn't want anything getting out that shouldn't have been. Maybe he just felt more at ease, more comfortable, more able to pray and get a hold of God without anybody. I don't know. But we do know that he cleared the room. And as I say, that's what Jesus did in that other occasion. There was just a very few folks that needed to be there. And Peter said, hey, right now me and God's the only ones that need to be here. And he kneels down and he prays. So you notice, first of all, you notice Peter and his supplication. Peter and his supplication. He begins to pray. And he prays with it. It said he prayed. And he turned, and turning unto the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. Now Jesus had told Talitha to rise. But now here's Peter. He says, it's going to be a little bit different, but I'm going to say, Tabitha, arise. And what does the Bible say happened? It says when he said that she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Amen? Hey, isn't that amazing? The power of God was evident enough in the life of Peter that Peter prayed. Now, again, Peter is not trying to make a name or a position or a big deal out of himself. He's just trying to help and be a blessing where he can. And God says, here's what I want you to do. And this is what he does. This lady is dead. She is now alive. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. Don't you notice there was a presentation. There was first of all, there was some supplication. There's some praying that went on, and God moved. And then he makes a presentation. He said, here is Tabitha back with you again. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, hey, I don't know if they were expecting it. I don't believe they were expecting it. I don't know if they thought it was even possible. But thank God, hey, the Lord let Peter pray that prayer and touch that lady's hand, and there she was. She was alive and arose and got up off of that deathbed. A man had just gotten up off of a sick bed. I know that'd help your faith, don't you? If you were praying and you see him and say, well, man, this guy's sick and I've prayed and God heard prayer. And then you move in and say, well, we're going to go a little bit further. Let's see if God raised the dead. That's pushing it a little bit, it seems like, for the thing of faith. But God was able to do that through the prayer of Peter. So you see the presentation. And then you notice that Peter causes a little bit of conversation. It says, and it was known throughout all Joppa. It was known that their folks began talking with each other, didn't they? They began to spread that news abroad. They began to go and tell somebody, said, hey, do you know what happened over here? Hey, let me tell you, down here, you remember that lady that did all that sewing and that helped all them people and she died? Well, she's alive again. How'd that happen? Well, old Peter came down and he was over here, over in Lydda, and they brought him, and here he is, and they got him, and he prayed and she's alive. And it says that conversation began to go. And you know what happened beyond that? Not just conversation, but I want you to know there was some transformation that happened. Transformation. There was people that got changed. And many believed in the Lord. And many believed in the Lord. Again, you see that the purpose of the miracle, the purpose of all it wasn't for any, you know, big show or a big, you know, oh, here's Peter waving his hand and all people are falling backwards. No, that's not it. It's that he is saying, look, this happened. This happened from the Lord. And then he began to preach the gospel. And many believed in the Lord. And isn't that the same thing that happened at the last place where he was? It says that many saw it there to Lydda and Saron. They saw him and turned to the Lord. So it's the same thing. All they want, all they need is the gospel. They wanted to see something miraculous, but God used the miraculous to get their attention so that they could trust in him. And God doesn't work like that today. We don't need for him to work like that today. It is by faith. It is by faith that we are saved. You begin to see a transition. You begin to see a transition. And when you get over into Paul and the proceedings of Paul and the preaching of Paul and Paul building churches, all of that that's going on, you will begin to see that this miraculous phase begins to fade out, and it's more trusting in the gospel, the preaching of the word, and accepting Jesus by faith. Can God still heal people today, preacher? I believe he can. I believe he's still able, and I believe he still does. Amen. I believe he still does. I've heard people talk to people, and they said, hey, you know, I went in, and they told me I had cancer, and then I went back again, and they said, we don't know what happened, but it's all gone. And I've seen people that had other diseases, and I know one time they told my daddy that. And he went back to the doctor after a few weeks, and they told him, they said, Mr. Camp, we don't know what's happened, but whatever was there, we don't see it anymore. Amen? Yeah, he knew. He could tell you about it. But I'm just telling you, I believe God can still do that. Now, does he do it? He does, obviously. He still does. But I'm telling you, for us to trust him, I believe he still wants us to come by faith. And you're going to see Paul use that phrase a couple of times, for the just shall live by faith. That's not to say we don't need a miracle every once in a while, because we do. We'd like to see more of them, wouldn't we? But sometimes it's just living by faith in what Jesus does for us. Amen? All right, that gets us through chapter number 9, and next week Peter's going to go a little bit further. We're going to see he's here in Joppa, and it says that he tarries here. He stays here for a while, and God's got some more for him to do, somebody else for him to see, and some things to happen. And he's about to splash on over into Gentile territory. And we'll see that as we get on into next week. But let's get ready. We'll just sing a verse of page 81, if you will. Let's stand page 81. We'll just do one verse of Just As I Am.